Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. This is The Ramsey Show, where America hangs out to have a conversation about your life and your money.
That's right. I'm George Campbell. She's Rachel Cruz, and we are taking your calls this hour. The number is 888-825-5225. And we wanted to have some fun, Rachel, and so we thought we'd call out for stories from you, our listeners, on some of the stupid tax that you've paid in your life, the dumb money mistakes that you regret, you laugh about it, we learn from it,
we've all never done it again.
We've all been there.
George, give me yours. Well, what's the stupidest thing you've ever done with money?
This is the most embarrassing. I'm going to go first and be vulnerable, okay? Be brave. I once shipped a pair of shoes that I was selling on Craigslist to Nigeria. And I fell for a scam. This wasn't one of those like Nigerian print scams where I thought I was getting $1 million. A guy wanted to buy the shoes.
Did you get a forwarded email?
No, he reached out and he was like, hey, I'm buying these for my cousin who lives in Nigeria. I was like, okay, it's plausible that people have cousins in Nigeria, right?
So
he was like, I'll pay you extra to ship these.
Yeah.
And so I get an email from PayPal that has like an extra $50 or whatever.
Yeah.
And so I went, cool. And so I went ahead and shipped the shoes. I later went back to the email on my phone, clicked through the email address, and it was like a garbled spam email. And then I was like, oh no. So I went to my PayPal account. There was no money in the PayPal account. They had spoofed the PayPal email so well that I thought that they had paid me. And so I just went ahead and shipped it.
Oh, George.
Fun fact, about 6 months later, I got a return to sender. Shoes showed up back at my door.
No way.
I guess the address was bad. So redemption. I only lost on the shipping cost, essentially.
You got them back. That's so good.
But that's one of the stupidest things I did. Probably about 15, 16 years
ago.
Pair of Air Force Ones or something.
Speaking of shoes, I'm trying to think of how much money. It was on Tory Burch flats.
Millions.
But it was a website that somehow I found.
Like a sketchy site.
On sale. These shoes were on sale. So I spent I think I spent a couple $100.
Was it like
because
cool
I was like, oh, I can get $100 off
.net.
I can get $100 off, and I got that package, and I remember opening and just the smell of it. I remember being like, oh, that doesn't smell like Tory Burch.
Look like Tory Burch?
No, I mean they had the fake logo, but they were like hard. I mean it was terrible. So I fell for that. I don't know.
Well, we've all been
What's
there.
Our shoe game? Yeah. But anyways, if you have something even better, I'm sure you guys
The funnier, the better.
Be brave. Tell us. We just want to have fun with it. So give us a call at 888-825-5225 and tell us your stupid tax story.
There's a lot of shame that comes along with money mistakes. And one of the reasons we did our new podcast, Smart Money Happy Hour, was because we didn't want money to be this like shameful, baggage-ridden thing. We wanted it to be fun, and so we wanted to create a casual environment to talk about money with no shame, no regrets, as we talk about in the podcast. I taught you what that was. So there we go.
I still don't quite get it, but
call us up, 888-825-5225. We'll open up some lines for you all to share your stupid tax stories.
That's right. All right, we're going to go to the phones, and Clayton in Green Bay is up first. Hey, Clayton, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate you two. Show is awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. How can we help?
I understand the 7 baby steps. I'm older. I've been taught my whole life to give 10% to church first. Does the Ramsey plan suggest you stop doing this and apply that to debt? Obviously, when debt is taken care of, the last one is to donate. So I don't know if we should stop giving that 10% to church first and apply that to debt.
Yeah, it's a great question, Clayton. The answer is no. We teach giving at least 10% regardless of where you are financially. So even if you're saving up for your first $1,000 emergency fund on baby step one, when you click through even to our budget every dollar, you'll see a mock budget, and giving is still at the top line regardless of where you are. So we believe in that generosity message no matter what. So no, the 10% is still something that we would recommend. But we would also say too, you know, some people go above and beyond even that, which again, if that's your conviction and that's where you want to go, like, we're not going to say not to. But also, when you give, let's just say half of your income away, we've talked to some people, and they're like, I just give half my paycheck away, but I still have credit card debt and student loans. You know, you can make a bigger impact with your money when it's not being sent to the bank and to your student loan and to your car loan. And so there is something powerful about putting as much money as you can towards getting out of debt, because that's going to free up your income to give even more. But that's more for people that are giving, you know, 20, 30, 40% of their income, no matter what they're doing, and they're getting behind on their bills. So we still recommend giving 10%, and then you can start to be more and more generous as you become debt-free and have an emergency fund.
Yeah, and Rachel, one of my favorite quotes from you is, give a little until you can give a lot.
That's
and
right.
So it's okay if you can only do 10%, but the Bible's pretty clear on this. If you're a person of faith, if you're a believer, I just spoke at a church on this topic, so I've got the verses up, Proverbs 3, 9, 10, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. And Malachi talks about that again, of how they'll open the floodgates of heaven. And God mm-hmm. says, test me in this, which is the only time in Scripture you'll find that.
Yeah.
Test me in this with tithing.
Yeah.
And so he wants us to test, to trust, to obey, and blessings are on the other side of that.
That's right. How does that sound, Clayton?
Well, sounds great. That's what I was hoping you were going to tell me, to be honest with you, because I firmly believe in that. And I was hoping that, yes, keep the 10% and then funnel everything else you can
yep.
to your debt. And then you'll be able to give more when you get done with the seven steps. So I really appreciate your answer.
Yep, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Well,
it's
thanks,
a great question.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, it is. And this generosity piece, I mean, it is. It's a piece that a lot of people in the financial world, they don't talk about. But we say on the Ramsey Show all the time that money is so much more than just the numbers in your bank account.
On paper, it doesn't make sense, Rachel.
Right.
Why would you tell me to get out of debt but then still give 10% when I could use that towards my debt? You're telling me to be gazelle intense.
Right.
But the issue with that is, as believers, we know that we're stewards. We're meant to manage this money on behalf of God. And so
yeah.
I'm going, God's given me this money to manage, and I want a reminder at the top of my budget to remind me of why I'm doing this, mm-hmm. of whose money this is. And so that's why I love giving coming out first.
And even if you're not a person of faith, you know, there, regardless of what faith walk you follow, I would argue too that giving, no matter what, is forcing your hand to be open and to let some go out. And that naturally is going to cause you to be less selfish and more selfless. And I just believe selfless people have a more joyful life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think when it's not all about you, and that's our world right now. I mean, you go on social media, you look around, I mean, it's all about me, 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 me. And when you just have this part of your financial plan with your hand open and just saying, hey, I'm going to give some, there is joy when life isn't all about you.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're a better parent. I think you're a better spouse. I think you're a better team member, a better friend, a better sibling. I mean, all of it.
And it's contagious.
The selflessness that comes from that is really big. And again, you're not going to see that on paper, but something does to your character when you live with that open hand. So giving always. Thanks, Clayton, for the call. The show, we did something a little different, and we asked you guys to call in and tell us your story of something stupid you've done with money. We call it stupid tax around here, when you made a mistake and you thought, oh, that was stupid, shouldn't have done that. We've all done it, right? And so some stories are great, better than others, but we asked to hear yours. And so we got a call in, George.
Dylan
here from Terre Haute, who's gonna be letting us know about his story.
Thanks for being brave,
stupid
Dylan.
Tax story, Dylan. Thanks for being the first one up.
Well, thanks for taking my call. This was back, let's say I was 17 years old, and driving in my truck with a couple of my buddies, and I had just got my first paycheck and didn't have any bills or anything like that to pay for. So money really didn't have any substance to me, I guess. But what did have good substance to me was my upbringing of giving to people in need. And one day we were getting off on an off ramp and I had my whole paycheck with me in cash. And I feel so strongly for helping or wanting to help people that I always hate seeing people on the side of the road, you know, begging for money and stuff like that. Well, I seen a fella that was, you know, had a sign and all that good stuff. Well, I gave him my whole paycheck that I worked for.
Wow.
And
it was
nice.
my first paycheck. And me and my buddies, we ended up going to get some dinner. And we came back and went up the other, the on-ramp to get back on the interstate to go home. And we seen that guy getting into a really nice SUV.
Oh, no.
Oh, oh boy.
Yeah.
So this was like a scam artist.
Yes. And unfortunately for me, I still will say a prayer for everybody who is in need, but that is on the side of the road like that. But as a lesson and a very hard, hard lesson learned for me, I do not give to anybody who is on the side of the road, especially nowadays when you can just turn your head and see, you know, help wanted signs anywhere.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. That's brutal.
Man.
How old are you now, Dylan?
I am 30 years old.
So this is 13 years ago, and it still haunts you to this day.
Well, wow. it's your stupid tax story, though. It was out of just the heart of generosity. George and I wanted nice shoes, basically.
This is a very different motive. Dylan's a salt of the earth guy.
Your motivation was so good, but that's a good lesson, though. And I've heard, yes.
How much was that paycheck, Dylan?
It was about $275.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And till this day, whenever I take my kids out to go out to dinner or something like that,
you buy food or you buy something
on the side of the road.
Yep.
I tell them, because they ask me, can we give them a little bit of money or something like that? I said, no, we can't. But what we can do, we can pray for them that they have a better life, or that, you know, God could give them the willpower to help better their lives for themselves.
For sure.
Well, thanks so much,
Dylan,
for sharing, Dylan.
Thanks for calling in. That's a heartbreak, though, because you, especially when it's the motive of, I'm going to help someone, and then, man, take off
that'll burn
in a Suburban. You know, you're like,
is a worry whenever you see folks on the road.
Well, that's a good discussion.
I hear about these scams, just like you described.
I know, and that's what's so hard. And I always kind of balance it with, like, you know, obviously, if you feel this conviction to give in that moment, you know, I'm not going to be able to tell you that God's not going to use that, but also to be wise about it. Right? Is it food that they need? Is it bottles of water? Is it, like, what are things that you can give in those moments? Not just cash, because at that point you have no clue what's going to happen there. Or do you give to organizations? You know, like the Nashville Rescue Mission is one of my favorites.
They do great work.
They do incredible work, right? And so, kind of plugging in, we were just talking about generosity in the last segment, so that's kind of even bleeds over to it. But yeah, Dylan, that hurts. Yeah. Hey.
I always try to do the water bottle on a hot day here in Tennessee. No, even if they're a scam artist, it's 100 degrees and they're just standing out there.
So anyone can take a bottle. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thanks, Dylan. And you guys, if you have a story of some lessons learned with money, we'd love to hear. All right, up next we have Justin in Dallas. Hey, Justin, welcome to the show.
Hey there. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit muffled.
A little noisy.
I think we got it.
Is this better?
No, that's even worse somehow.
There we go.
Okay, we got somewhere.
Sorry. All right. I'm really looking for some kind of encouragement, guys. I have gone through the beginnings of the baby steps before. I went through baby step one. I was like halfway through baby step two. And then a whole bunch of stuff happened. I lost my job. And then I sat around feeling sorry for myself and didn't work as hard as I probably should have, and ended up taking out a PA loan. And now I feel like I'm more in the hole than I ever have been before. And
that's a good show.
Yeah. And I'm just, every time I watch your guys' show, like, every day, so inspiring. Mm. I see the debt-free screams people do, and I know I want that for my life. And I just don't know. I don't believe that I can do it, yeah. You know? Mm-hmm.
Justin, there is hope for you yet, my brother. I know when life punches you in the face that many times, you just feel like, well, I guess this plan isn't for me. It's for other people. It's for people with less problems and more money. But I'm telling you, man, this plan was especially made for people like you. And so there is hope. And if there's any resources we can send your way, if there's any cheerleading we can do for you to tell you that you can do this, we are here for you today.
Yeah, and Justin, I think one of the biggest things in your situation is I feel like even you know, mentioning the payday loan and, oh, I was that and I felt sorry for myself. You know, even the wording and the verbiage you were using in the call, it feels like you have a lot of shame around this topic, which is very normal. Money is like this thing that just stares at us right in the face. And it is so easy to get in the cycle of shame and sitting in your regrets. But Justin, that's in the past. Those things, yes, you're going to have to face in order to move forward. But that does not have to determine what you're going to choose today. And that's the beautiful thing. We all of us get to wake up every morning and decide, okay, what decisions am I going to make today? And we can either make decisions that end up harming us in the future or that help us in the future. And everyone's story looks different, Justin. So your story is going to look different than another debt-free scream call on here or another call we take later in the show, because dependent upon, you know, even your mindset, right? And what has been spoken into you throughout your life, what you believe about yourself, to the actual numbers and the debt levels and the income levels. I mean, all of it's going to look different, but we are all people and we all get to make decisions. And Justin, I believe that you can, because we have seen it all, Justin. We have seen every story imaginable on this show. And so I would love to see real quick before we have a heart out here in a few seconds, but we want to be able to give you Financial Peace University. So Jenna's going to pick up and watch these 9 lessons, Justin. Okay. And listen, it's not going to be perfect. Okay. You're not going to be perfect with it. It's not going to be like, oh, one day I'm going to watch these videos and no life's going to happen and I'm going to make every right decision. Yes. Your trajectory hopefully is going up, but it's going to go a little bit down, up. I mean, you're going to feel it, right? It's not going to be the straight line going forward, but the decisions you make going forward are going to be so important, but it's going to be okay because you've got this. You can do this.
And Justin, join a local class. I want you in a community of people who are cheering you on, because I can't be there in Dallas, Texas to do it for you. So join a local class when we sign you up for FPU, and I want to see you on the stage. And I'm going to remember Justin from Dallas who thought he couldn't, and you're going to inspire so many people who feel exactly the way you do right now. I can't wait to see what the future holds for you, brother.
Thanks for calling. Question from blinds.com. Blinds.com 100% satisfaction guarantee means even if you mismeasure or pick the wrong color, they will remake your blinds for free. You get free samples, free shipping, and with the new promo codes that run every month, you'll save even more. Use promo code Ramsey to get the best deal.
Today's question comes from Rhonda in Idaho. I followed the baby steps so that I have no debt and a 3-month emergency fund. However, I'm saving for a house, currently renting, and only have $10,000 saved. Saving a 20% down payment seems so unattainable when putting 15% toward retirement. Can any of the 15% be used to fund a down payment, since a house is an investment? It's a great question, Rhonda. And what you're talking about is baby step 3B. So once you're out of debt with the fully funded emergency fund, 3B is saving up for a down payment. Now, 3B and 4, which is investing 15% to retirement, they can be a little squishy. And so it's kind of a choose your own adventure depending on your age, your goals. And so we don't know Rhonda's age. We don't know if she's 55 or 25. But you can split the difference and go, hey, I'm going to invest up to the employer match in my 401k, and the rest is going to go towards aggressively saving for the down payment. Some people pause investing entirely, which is okay for a season. I would not go more than about 2 years or so pausing investing to aggressively save up for the down payment.
And I would say too, Rhonda, 20% is ideal because you avoid PMI. But even if you're a first-time home buyer, I mean, 5, 10% down payment could work as well. So you could even shift that 20% down if you wanted to get in faster. But again, you'd save a lot of money if you hit that 20%. So it's a great question.
And I don't know what home prices are in Idaho, but I feel like they'd be more reasonable than in some other parts of the country.
You would think, right?
You would think.
You would
now,
think.
Now, maybe it's if it's in, I don't know, where. What's the biggest city in Idaho? Do you know?
Boise.
Is that right?
I don't know. What do we think?
I was hoping for James to be our like Jeopardy guy, but he's nowhere to be found. It's fine.
Boise, Idaho. I'm going
sure.
for it.
Sure.
I'm going to say it. Okay. We're going to the phones this hour, 888-825-5225. And up next is Jackson in Wichita, Kansas. Hey, Jackson. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Absolutely. How can we help?
Well, I just want to start off by saying I've only been part of the Ramsey podcast, or I've only started listening for about a week, so I'm brand new.
Oh, nice. Well, welcome.
A whole lot of everything.
Welcome to this
Thank
crazy crew that you've joined.
It is crazy. And I just, my question, it's a question, but not really, but me and my wife just kind of feel stuck right now. And I'll give you some context. About in May, we bought a house in Kansas. We moved from Nebraska around the Lincoln area, and we decided to go buy a house fresh out of an apartment. And we made it down here, and it's not what we imagined. I'd say that it's not really what we thought it was going to be like. And now we're in debt. And my question, I have a couple questions kind of, what we should do. We sell the house, move back to Nebraska because we have family there and we love our family and we miss them most of all. And that's kind of what we are striving to get back to is our family. We're really close to both of our families. We're trying to figure out if we should stay here for 2 years to not have to pay that, that tax for not living in a house for 2 years or whatever it's called. Or to throw all of our money at our debt and stay here for 2 years, or just turn up the tables, go back to Nebraska, use our profit from the house to pay off all of our debt, or I don't really know what to do.
Okay. So I may have missed at the beginning of your call, but what caused you guys to go to Wichita in the first place?
Well, it's Southeast Kansas, not really Wichita.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
But it doesn't really matter. It's Southeast Kansas. We have friends down here. I've known them for about 10 years. We were looking at buying a house. We really wanted to buy one. If I would have found you guys sooner, I would have realized, hey, this is way too soon. we're not ready for this, but we found a place out in the country that was, underpriced basically. It was 15 acres and it was underpriced. And we decided, hey, we have friends in that area. Let's do this. And we bought this house down here.
So you moved truly just for the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And how far are you guys from family now?
Like 5 hours.
Oh, wow. So y'all
Are your jobs like local in Kansas?
Yes. We got jobs. She works at a bank and I work at an aircraft manufacturing plant.
Yeah. And you're just like, this wasn't as exciting and adventurous as it sounded at the beginning. Yeah. Now reality has set in and you're thinking, wow, this isn't fun.
Now, how much equity do you have and how much debt do you have?
We bought the house for $225,000. It was a 5% down payment, so there's $212,000 left. And according to Zillow, I haven't had it appraised or anything, but according to Zillow and the houses around this area, it's worth about $260,000. So before the real estate agent like percentage and the taxes, it'd be like about $50,000 in the house.
Okay.
So you might walk away with closer to 30 on this.
35? Yeah.
Okay. And then how much debt do you have?
I calculated it today. It's about $21,000.
Okay. Now, you would go back to Nebraska and rent for a while?
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean, it sounds like a good plan. You don't have to move back to Nebraska to get out of debt. And so I would only do it if there's a lot of other reasons to do this. And it sounds like that reason is we don't like it here. We want to go back, be closer to family. And part of that, it's going to help us get out of debt. We're going to rent for a year or two, start saving up, and get into a house with some wisdom and patience.
Yeah.
That sounds good to me.
It sounds right to me,
too. Gives me some peace just talking that through.
Yeah. And I know my wife's listening, so I hope she found some peace in that. And another thing,
because you both want to, right, Jackson? Like, y'all want out.
We do.
Yeah.
And it's a great place down here. There's a lot of land. There's 50 acres.
Were you super happy in Nebraska? Because I feel like there's a reason you left there to begin with, beyond just there's a great house in Kansas.
Honestly, if I think back, we were pretty happy. We were in a little apartment. I think we just wanted to get into a bigger space. The apartment was like 800
square feet. Well, you're probably going back to an apartment in Nebraska.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, you're right. I don't know that you're going to be in a much better spot other than being debt-free. So I just want to make sure that we get to the root of the problem because you go with
Which is great because I think, too, though, part of the discontentment is like we want something bigger. And then when you get something bigger and not doing it well financially, you're like, oh, wow, maybe it was better. Back at a smaller place, actually in control of our money. So it's kind of almost like you learned your lesson, which is great. It was not a fatal move. You guys are not like on the brink of bankruptcy or foreclosure. So you're good. You're in a good spot. I think a lot of the decisions in life, it's agreeing with your spouse is huge. Financially, does it make sense? Do we just want to, our desire? Do we want to do this? And when all those things kind of check off the boxes, it feels like a right move. And I feel like we just kind of checked all those off in this call, Jackson. So. Yeah. To me, I think it would be worth it. And I think it's an exciting place for you guys because you're going to be debt-free. You're actually going to have about $9,000 in the bank saved that you guys can work for that can be your emergency fund. You guys are going to start these new habits with money. You're going to build up a down payment because I know you want to own a home again one day in Nebraska. And you're going to be able to here in a few years, doing it the right way. It's just going to be a different experience. You could just chalk this up to a learning experience.
Yep. And it might be a wash after you pay your capital gains taxes on the profits. So make sure you do the math on that. Hold the money back. But at least you'll leave this thing completely debt-free and back to the place that you want to be, closer to family. So I call that an overall win.
That's great, Jackson. And it's a great it's so interesting because I think in life, and we all do this, but you have this thing of, oh gosh, you know, like if we did that, like we want a bigger place. So it all made sense, the motivation. But when things don't line up well, specifically with money, we'll look through just that lens right now, that it's not a smart move financially. It takes the whole exciting experience and puts a lot of weight on it. Mm. And all of a sudden you're thinking, oh God, that was not good.
Well,
and now our life is shrunk down because we have no margin.
Yeah.
And now it's more stressful than ever, and it's just not worth it.
The antidote to discontentment is contentment. But often we go, the antidote is, we just need that house. We need that car.
Yes.
We need this kind of life.
If I can just do that, yep, I know.
It's never the answer.
Jackson, thanks for calling. This is The Ramsey Show. Scripture of the day comes from 2 Chronicles 15:7. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. The difference between winning and losing is most often not quitting, from Walt Disney. Thanks for putting a Disney quote in there for
Rachel
me, guys.
Rachel loves Disney.
I do enjoy Disney.
Future episode of Smart Money Happy Hour, by the way. We just recorded yesterday. We both have very different thoughts about Disney and Disney adults.
And Disney World.
And
Disney
can
the World. Middle class still make it to Disney World?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of opinions out there.
It was therapeutic for me, Rachel.
We break it up.
I shared my Disney trauma.
George,
I had a traumatic childhood experience.
I felt like Dr. John Deloney on the show for a hot second, and I thought, I feel like I need to like walk him through this process of grief, and like I don't know what's happening.
A lot of stages.
There was a lot, and that'll be a future episode of Smart Money Happy Hour, new podcast.
This is a great time to remind people, if you haven't checked it out yet, just released yesterday, first two episodes, and it's great because you can listen over the weekend. It's easy listening, very casual. They're about 30 minutes apiece, and it's at number one in business, number 32 overall. So thank you all for listening, subscribing, sending us feedback, posting about it, telling your friends. It's a great casual money conversation.
Yes, all that helps. Yes, it helps our egos. Seeing number one, that's very nice. But
Rachel,
also,
you're used
it helps.
That.
But
you
also,
know,
I'm not
always number one.
But when you get these kind of charts, even if you like for a book, right? When you hit a bestseller list, all of it. Obviously, yes, it feels great as the author or the podcast host to see that. But also, the most important is it gets it in front of other people.
Yes.
Other people that never would have known can click on it, and we want to sneak them into
when
this whole thing that we're doing to help them to say, hey. Hey, plug into Ramsey Solutions, because then eventually, hopefully, they go through Financial Peace University. They use every dollar. They read Dr. John Deloney's stuff and helps with their anxiety. Because our mission is to help people.
Give them hope.
In every area of life and give them hope. And so it's just a great way for people that normally wouldn't have noticed us to notice us.
And it validates the team's effort. I mean, we are such a small part of making this podcast happen. There's like 40 people. We did a toast yesterday.
Yeah.
The amount of people it takes to launch something and the amount of work they've put in for months and months and months, from the producers to social media to photographers and designers. We just have such a talented team. So I'm proud of them for all the work they put in to get us here.
That's
we had
right.
a very small
Absolutely.
Part.
Absolutely. So great. So check it out. Smart Money Happy Hour. All right. Up next, we have Heather in San Antonio. Hey, Heather. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you both for taking my call today. And thanks to the Bigger Ramsey team for bringing my family peace. My question is part career and part financial.
Okay.
Some context. I'm 47. My husband is 52. This goes back to the quote from Disney about quitting. I may have missed out on that. We are debt-free except our mortgage. We actually became debt-free in May of 21, thanks to the Ramsey plan.
Congratulations.
We moved from California, which was very expensive, to Texas just in May of this year. And I have been working in education more than 20 years, but I'm not working anymore. I left a very nice salary behind, and I'm super grateful for my husband supporting me and taking his time to essentially catch my breath. Financially, me not working is not hurting us, but it's not helping us either. I'm stuck. I know I could get a teaching or an administrative role easily. I did excel at my job, but I intentionally left education because I was drowning. My job left me feeling like I was spiraling.
Did we lose you, Heather?
I feel good. Oh, can you hear me?
We just broke up. Just repeat the last 7 seconds. So you were spiraling out after your education career.
Yeah, and I feel guilty that I'm not using my credentials and that I'm not contributing to our financial goals. I need to have purpose besides being a great stay-at-home wife right now. And I want to start with volunteer work with our new church. Side note, listening to Ramsey podcast while we were paying off our debt actually led me to Jesus Christ. It was my first pastor.
Oh, wow. That's awesome, Heather.
Love to hear that.
That's amazing.
So now that we're settled, I feel like I'm a human again. is that enough for now? Am I being selfish by not getting a job? I'm not really retirement age. If we do end up moving again, we believe his job is going to move him in about 2 years. Will my work-employment gap be a problem if I do decide to return to work? Should I be worrying about those things right now?
Heather, what you guys have accomplished in the last 2 years financially has set you on a path where you have options now in your life. You have options. You get to decide, what do I want to do with my time? What do I want to do with my credentials? What do I want to do with my money? All of that, you get options now because you guys have worked to become debt-free. You don't owe anyone anything. Your husband is making, you said a great salary. So you have options. So this is all up to you. And I don't think the conviction of going into a job comes out of guilt and shame. And that's what I'm hearing, that cycle play as you're talking. So I don't think that you are in a spot that you're thinking in a very healthy way, because no, that's not selfish. I mean, I think that we have the ability to help people and to serve, and you've already given me two options of things that you're thinking about doing in that way, which is great. And even if you wanted to take 2 years off and just say, I'm just going to breathe and I'm going to go to lunch with some new friends that I've met in San Antonio, I'm going to build community and relationships, and that's okay. Like, I feel like you just need permission to know that rest and a period of time, it's okay. Now, if you're bored and you're restless and you're like, man, I want to do some things, I want to put my brain in function into the, you know, a part of my life that I know I'm good at and I want to go and work, then that's one thing. But feeling guilted because you somehow have told yourself that you're selfish, I don't think is a wise move.
No. Heather, you are enough. Period. Not if you go to work and not if you volunteer. You are enough. And now that you're a believer, you know that you were created with a purpose. And if Ken was here, he would say you're created to contribute. And that can look different. You can do that on your terms. But we're not going to do it out of shame and guilt because your husband's working or because you feel like you should be doing something outside of the home and providing for your family or using a piece of paper or using your 20 years of education experience. So you get the benefit of getting to do this all over again on your terms. And if that means working part-time and volunteering part-time, that's great. But wherever this baggage is coming from of my worth is tied up in my work, we got to drop that because we have a new vision for what the next 30 years of your life looks like. So talk it over with your husband. Do a dream date and go, what do we want to do? What do I want to do? What gifts do you see in me and talents that I could use to create impact, to have that purpose that I'm longing for?
Do you guys have kids, Heather?
Yes, but they're grown and okay. College educated and debt free, so we don't.
Well. That's great.
We have a lot of financial freedom right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. When we say all that to you, Heather, how does that feel?
It takes the burden. You know, this is all my own self doubt. My husband is super supportive. He looks at me and is like, "Well, there's really not. You don't have to go back to work. I don't know why you're so worried about it." I just, you know, I've been very driven since I was a young girl, and it feels weird to feel like I'm not.
Yes, and it would feel weird, and I think that that's a very normal thing, especially if it's, you know, if you think if you've been working. I have a friend, and she said she's been working since she was 14. She got her first job at 14, and she's worked all the way through high school, through college, through adulthood, all the way after having kids. I mean, she's literally worked since she was 14. And she took a break off and she just said, oh, and talking about this is that is weird because that's called change. And change is going to feel weird, Heather, whether you're a stay-at-home mom and you go back into the workforce or you're in the workforce and you come home. Any change in our lives, it's going to feel weird. So for it to just feel normal, that's probably not an option. So the weirdness is very normal. It doesn't make it wrong, though. It doesn't make it wrong. So I hope that helps, Heather, just to release you from that. I think George's words were perfect. Your value comes from so much more. Now, if you want to jump in there and use your brain because you want to, that's great. But there's no pressure. You don't have to. You get options because of the work that you guys have done. Well, thanks, America, for listening. Thanks to Ben, Zach, Andrew, James, everyone in the booth, and Jenna. Holla, girl. Only two women here in this little studio. It's great. And thank you, America, for listening. Thanks, George.
Appreciate it. Good time.
Have a great weekend. Hey, it's Rachel Cruz, co-host on The Ramsey Show. If you want to do your debt-free scream live on the show, visit ramseysolutions.com/debt-free-scream. We'd love for you to come to Nashville and tell Dave your story. That's ramseysolutions.com/debt-free-scream.
If you enjoy this podcast, you should check out other great podcasts from the Ramsey Network, like Ramsey Call of the Day.
Check out our new Ramsey Call of the Day podcast. It'll give you a quick hit of advice about life and money in under 10 minutes. Listen to the Ramsey Call of the Day wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.